Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
If you can find the time to explore the mind of a stripper,
then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
What they on? All steroids and no carbs. They're the thick ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Oh, my goodness.
Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Prime Time on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do? What is up? It's Ropp, sans Big Zook, but I do have Mr. Reliable, Michael Lynch.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm doing great.
You look great.
Fantastic day.
Yes.
Fantastic weekend. Yes. Sue's in Iceland, so he's having fun.
Great that he's not here.
It's great that he's not here. It's beautiful out. John comes in tomorrow, which
yes.
is exciting.
God.
Things are happening.
Things are happening. The Olympics are on. What am I watching here? What is this?
I don't know. My TV's off.
Some sort of
Olympic. Because Will doesn't watch TV in here because he's a weirdo.
Maybe this is... Do they still have rowing in there?
I don't know. Do not ask me a damn thing about the Olympics because I know nothing, nor do I particularly care.
Oh, it's some sort of swimming event. Yeah, I don't care about the Olympics either, Mike. I used to. I always kind of get roped in, but this year I'm not having it. My body's not having it.
Yeah, mine isn't either. For whatever reason,
I don't
it's
know
just
why.
There's no buzz to me. Maybe it's because it was delayed a year.
It's, you know what the feeling
it's
is like?
It's also sports I don't really care about at all.
The feeling is like when, remember when COVID, do you remember that COVID thing?
I do.
It was a pandemic. And then we were doing these shows, you know, we've been here the whole time doing shows. Hello. And so then like sports kind of came back, but because of COVID and everything that was going on in the world, you just couldn't get into it really.
I found very similar feelings. Yeah.
A lot of people were.
It took a long time for me to get sucked back into something.
Yeah. Yeah, it took a while. And then we've been through a couple championships now. We've got two NBA champions since, and we've got one NFL champion, and we've been through a Major League Baseball playoffs, and it kind of feels like, yeah, we're getting back into it. But that feeling when sports kind of just didn't matter and you couldn't really get back into it, there were no fans, that's the same feeling that at least I have for the Olympics right meow. And it's on very early in the morning, and I just – usually I like early morning sports. I don't know, if I tune in right now, I'm seeing some German person run. What do I care?
Right. Suk, when you were out a couple of weeks ago, Suk and I were talking about the Olympics a little bit, and he was like kind of gung-ho about it, you know, like go Team USA and root for the Americans. And I was like, does it make me not patriotic that I don't care? Like,
I don't think so.
I don't watch, and if it is on, I'll like, oh, I guess I'll pull for the U.S., sure. But I'm not, like, standing up cheering for the U.S. swimmer to make it in first place. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm with you. Maybe it does make us not as patriotic.
Am I just, like, cynical and...
Yeah, you're kind of turning into young me.
Yeah.
Well, Suk is definitely the most patriotic of the three of us.
For sure.
So I don't know. Maybe
so
we are
so patriotic. He's going to a different country during the Olympics.
he's over in Iceland, rooting for Iceland's team. Well, anyway, screw the Olympics. I don't know. Maybe I'll get into it. But I like to read about it. Like somebody text, or not text, but social media, Twitter. Twitter. Is that what it is? Twitter?
Tweeted?
Somebody tweeted.
Somebody
tweeted it over the weekend that they were like, why isn't there a red zone channel for the Olympics? And I was like, bingo. That's it right there. Why not? What are you doing, NBC? I thought about it, and I think maybe it's just because there just aren't – maybe there's just not that many things happening at one time that you can just bounce around to different things and just catch the gist of all these things.
Isn't that what the, like, prime time 8 p.m. thing you watch – isn't that what that's supposed to be, like kind of like a combination of all the day's events?
Oh, is that what they're doing?
Well, that's what they always do, right? Like, there's always, like, the – they save things for the prime time viewing when you get home.
But we all know the results.
If you're paying attention. Yeah.
Generally.
Yeah.
I mean, I read about Katie Ledecky. I read about Team USA.
Mm-hmm.
So I read about it, but I don't care to see it. It's weird. Weird dynamic this year.
I just think it's weird in general. I mean, I've never been big Olympics guy at all. It's not sports that I ever thought I would care about. And sometimes there's like a cool sport that you're like, oh, this is interesting. Why on earth is this in the Olympics? Like yesterday, oh my God, I forget the name of it. Oh, it's it was on the TV when we were here on the Sunday show. Dressage.
What's that?
I don't know, but there was a person on a horse and the horse was like dancing.
Yes.
Or galloping or like prancing.
I would have said that's a cologne.
And I kind of watched it for like 5 minutes and was like, how is this a good horse?
That's an Olympic sport?
Ah! Yes. Dressage.
Really? Wow.
Like, is this horse talented? It had the Denmark flag on it. Is the horse also from Denmark, as is the rider?
Hmm.
I mean.
Yeah, how do they know?
And it's literally, it was just prancing in a square. And then every once in a while, it did like an extra little kick. And it was like.
Who won?
I don't know. It was the same horse going for the whole 5 minutes that I was looking at.
Well, now I'm interested.
Are you, though?
No.
Don't lie.
Well, listen, what a week ahead we have for you. What a week ahead we have for you here on Radio Broadcast. Listen, you've made it to football season as far as I'm concerned. I mean, I know we're not even into August yet, but football season comes to us sooner and sooner every year. And I think it's here because tomorrow you have Pac-12 Media Day, and Dirt and Sprague will be down there covering it. So tomorrow's show for Dirt and Sprague here on The Fan in the morning from 6 to 9 is a must listen because they will be there. NFL camps are opening. We've got the NBA draft. We've got the Olympics, if you care. You've got the trade deadline in Major League Baseball. It's all happening this week.
How dare you put the trade deadline after the Olympics?
Well, you know, I'm just listing things. No particular order.
Okay.
So it's an exciting week. Now the week,
boy, my update's filled with news today. There's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah,
today.
It's hot. And you know, listen, here's the thing. I'm not going to lie to you. When I'm on the air and Sue is not here, or I don't have a co-host, cause I think Luke will be in part of next week. I'm all about this freaking college football expansion, man.
I couldn't tell because every show since the news broke last week, we talked about
God.
5 seconds.
I am so into it. I think it's fascinating. I think it's exciting, and damn it if I'm not going to talk about it again today.
All right.
So this week and next week will be a potpourri of radio broadcasts for you. I think we have, so today we have what we dub Mike and Ike. That's me.
And me.
And then tomorrow, John Sukanik is coming in for a rare full show appearance. I have a couple of games planned for him. Ones that he requested even.
Including number two or number three,
yeah,
of music trivia.
Yep. Melancholy Music Thursday on a Tuesday with John and not Jason. Thursday and Friday, Monday, I think maybe best ofs. I don't know. I don't care. I won't be here. And then Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday of next week, it's Isaac and Luke. And then next Friday, it's Isaac and Suk.
There you go.
So every day you tune in, you will get, most every day you tune in, you get something different over the next 2 weeks.
We will certainly have a couple of best ofs in those 3 days that you two are out. But, you know, we're talking about maybe something else. We'll see.
Oh, fun. That's real fun. See, guys, we're nothing if not unpredictable. So Suk is in Iceland for a few weeks. I don't know if you heard that. He's going to Iceland. Or actually, he's probably in Iceland now. I think he flew out yesterday or maybe last night. He will be tossing a coin into an active volcano. He will be playing midnight golf, I think he said. He will be most assuredly touring the Penis Museum, and we'll have tales galore in a couple of weeks from that. And he will be pooping where he shouldn't, as that is a thing, apparently, for tourists in Iceland, because all you do is look at things there,
mm-hmm.
and you drive. And
there there's not a lot of bathrooms.
Yeah. You just drive one road around the whole country or something, right?
Yes, there's just one single highway that goes around the entire
country. And nobody
knows
where to poop.
So they just poop out in nature.
Yeah, and they don't want you to do that. They don't like that. So in honor of Big Sook's trip, I thought here, Mike, before we get into hot sports talk today, could we lay out our top three places we've traveled and our top three places we want to travel?
I thought you were going to say the top three places we've pooped.
Whoa. I kind of like that.
Is there like a really fancy bathroom you pooped in at one point?
I'd have to think about that. I don't think so. There's probably some odd places, you know, when you got to go, you got to go.
Right. Like the bus in Mexico.
That would be number one. Tulum.
Mm-hmm.
It's still called in our family. It's called taking a Tulum after that story. But what do you think? I was thinking about it today when I was thinking about him. I was like, man, that's a cool trip. And he's gone on some cool trips. You know, he went to Belize.
He went to Bali.
Bali.
He went to Costa Rica.
He did?
Yes.
He was in Costa Rica?
He was.
I want to go to Costa Rica. So he's gone on some cool trips. I think that my top three, I was thinking about it today, and I think if I were to power rank my top three, and I haven't been to a lot of places, but I have been lucky enough to travel some. Number three would be Machu Picchu in Peru. It's amazing. You got to go. And Cusco is a city that's like 11,000 feet. And you actually go down to Machu Picchu from Cusco, but fly into Cusco and hang out in Cusco if you can stand the altitude. It's a rad city. Then I would say Italy. It's so great. I can't remember the name of it. Siena, Italy.
Okay. So you're actually talking specific cities.
Yeah,
I was just thinking countries.
Well,
yeah.
you can get as 30,000 feet up as you like.
Okay.
You don't need to get it down in the minutiae. But the reason I'm saying Siena, I loved everything about Italy. Every stop in Italy, except for maybe Rome, was a little further down on my list, even though it's a great city. Siena, Italy is where we saw the Palio, the horse race that if you want to see culture at its best, go to that thing. There's two of them a year. It's unbelievable. There's a documentary on it. We were at that, and it was truly incredible, and that town is amazing. And then number one for me is probably Edinburgh, Scotland. I can't get it out of my head. I loved it. Old part, not the new part, like Royal Mile type stuff. Amazing. And then St. Andrews. Doesn't hurt that St. Andrews is like 30 minutes east.
Man, it's tough. You kind of threw this at me. I had no idea we were talking about this.
Let's go.
I've been to Italy with my family. When I was a senior in high school, I went to Rome and Naples and Pompeii, and that was fantastic. Beautiful country. I loved everything about it. I loved the walkability of Rome and how all the little piazzas and the little places to eat and all the crazy ancient stuff there that you can see. So that's definitely one of my top three. I was thinking of the tropical places I've been.
I have an announcement. I'm turning it off the Olympics.
Good. Okay. I have baseball on. I'm watching Mets Braves.
Yeah, I'm going to put it on MLB. Okay. Just wanted to announce that.
The tropical places I've been, I would say my favorite is Turks and Caicos, which I went just 2 years ago for a wedding. Mm-hmm. I think it helped that the wedding was in a mansion. So I was able to experience a lot of nice homes down there and a lot of nice things. But that was really, really fun. And then number three, I'm having trouble thinking. You know, I've been to London before. I really enjoyed it, but I was young when I went. So I don't have like this distinct memory of doing a ton of cool things, like we just did the touristy stuff. I remember Tower of London being really creepy because I was like, I don't know what age I was, like 10, walking through and seeing all the torture devices.
Yeah.
I've been to Jamaica. I've been to Dominican Republic, been to Canada. I really, really, really enjoyed my trip to Victoria the one time I went up there. I thought that was a beautiful town, beautiful city. And I was only there for a couple days and I want to go back. I'm hesitant to put that in my top three, but I really, really enjoyed it. So I would say for now, okay. I'm going to put that temporarily in there until I think of something else.
What about places you want to go? Do you want to go on an African safari?
Not particularly.
Because I do.
My aunt, uncle, and cousin almost went, and then it got canceled. They had it booked and everything.
Everybody I've talked to about an African safari says it's the best trip they've ever been on. And these are people, like, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong, do you think there are people that have been on an African safari that's like the only place they've been? because I feel like African safari is like, is when you're a veteran traveler, that's when you throw in the African safari.
Yeah, I would say that is, right? If you have money and are a veteran traveler, that's when you do it. Yes.
Yeah. So I don't think that.
That's not baby's first vacation.
Exactly. And everybody, you talk to anybody who's been on one, it's incredible. So I'm going to trust those people and say that's that one. I didn't know Suk went to Costa Rica. I totally blocked that out for some reason. Maybe it's because I was jealous. Costa Rica and probably Spain are my three right now. But that changes.
Yeah, Spain is up there for me. I'd love to go see Spain.
Spain.
I was an idiot as a kid and was given a choice to go to two places. One, my parents were going, and one, my aunt and uncle were going. And they were like, you can choose, Mike. Oh. My parents went to Paris. And my aunt and uncle went to Vegas.
You went to Vegas?
I went to Vegas. I don't know why I made that choice.
How old were you?
I was fairly young. You know, probably in my like 12, 13 area, 14, something like that.
What a tragedy.
Yeah, it was a bad decision. So I'd love to go to Paris because I was an idiot and passed up going on that trip. And
Paris.
Probably, I think, although I'm a little bit scared.
Bangladesh?
I'd love to go to Australia.
Oh, yeah.
Although I hate the animals and the bugs. Well, either or, sure. That area of the country.
See, I think New Zealand's better than Australia, from what I hear.
I think there's more to do in Australia, but New Zealand's probably a nicer place to go. Mm. The thing is with Australia that's crazy to me is, like, I would love to go see multiple cities there, but country is massive.
It's huge, yeah.
So you have to fly to all the cities or, I guess, drive a long, long, long way. So when you go to Australia, you almost have to, like, narrow it down to one or two places.
They need high-speed rail there, like we do here. And everywhere.
If I were to go, where should I go?
What do you mean? In Australia? Like, I don't know. Never been.
I know Sydney is, you know, like the classic, everyone goes to Sydney, but I've heard Melbourne's a really, really cool city,
yeah.
Up and coming. You know, there's a bunch of little like cool coast towns that you could go to.
Sure. I don't know that. I haven't done much research on Australia. Maybe our listeners can help you out on that.
That would be the three places I would like to go.
We should put together a giant listener, like all of our listener input on all of the countries ever visited by all of our listeners and come up with a top five. That'd be rad. Of course, we'll never do that. You can text 503-250-1080. I'd love to hear your top three. Maybe it'll inspire us. I'm inspired by Big Sook's trip to Iceland, and so much so that I'm going to Kansas in 3 days. So don't be jealous of
that. The Iceland of the U.S.
The Milan of the Midwest, I think is what you meant to say.
I was giving it more credit than the Milan of the Midwest, but you know, you can say
it's
that.
It's definitely
if you'd like.
Not the Iceland of the U.S. of the U.S.
Nor is it the Milan of the Midwest, but you know.
Oh, but I think it is.
Is it though?
Contrary, as they say in Paris.
My mom has reminded me, we also went to Mexico when I was younger.
Okay.
We went to, I don't remember the name of the town, but it was on the Yucatan Peninsula.
Okay.
And we did a couple of the old ruin sites, which were really, really cool, stayed at a resort. So I'd say I'd probably put that at number three based on the cool stuff that we saw on that
Everybody's
trip.
Done that. I hate to poop all over Mexico, but I just feel like.
Well, I've only been once, so.
I mean, you can get the beaches. You can go down there and have a good time, but and it's not as expensive as some places. I just, I haven't heard, in other words, like I've been to Playa del Carmen, cool little town. I've been to several of those resorts, played golf down there, but I just never hear anybody like raving about a certain place in Mexico, right? Like, you have to go here. It's all kind of the same. You're going to get what you need.
It was a one of a kind of experience for me when I went, is we went to a partially excavated area with Mayan ruins. So we were literally just walking through the jungle, and then in the middle there was like half excavated pyramids and half excavated stuff. So it was this really cool experience of like, we're like, you know, like, oh, look at the monkeys up there in the trees. And we're literally in this dense forest or jungle, I suppose. And then it's like, oh, here's an 100-step Mayan temple that we can climb. And then you climb it and you're looking over the canopy of the entire jungle. That was really, really cool. I forget the name of the more commonly seen one, like Tenochtitlan or whatever, the one with like the fully excavated ruins.
Let's go with it.
That one was cool, but it was fully excavated. So like it's just like dirt, sand on the ground and a bunch of ruins, whereas this was in the jungle, which was really, really fun.
Mm.
So probably at this point it might be fully excavated, but when I went, it was not.
Mike has texted in, another Mike, and he says his top three, Bandon, Pacific, and Trails. I like that. That sets the tone for the week. Okay, I'll read some of these. They're coming in hot and heavy, some interesting places. But let's get started with hot sports talk, guys. We will start. Let's see. There's a lot of different directions we can go. Probably with some college football expansion talk next on The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Prime Time with Isaac and Souk on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Souk is off in Iceland. You've got Mike and Ike today. Tune in tomorrow. John will be here. Pac-12 Media Day as well. A couple of texts before we get to our poll question. Newsflash, Mike, the horse is not talented. You were talking about dressage. It did not wake up in the morning and say, I want to dance. The skill is the rider.
Well, that makes it lamer, in my opinion.
Somebody else said, my daughter did the horse thing, and every time I had to sit through dressage, I was hoping a horse would freak out and a rodeo would break out. He says, so boring. That leads to a question. What is the most boring sport to watch your kids participate in? Because I feel like all parents, to some degree, no matter what you're watching, and we're talking kids under 13.
Unskilled kids.
Yeah, just like when they're just kids, right?
Yeah.
I think there's an amount, a good level of sheer boredom in all parents watching all kids do anything.
The one sport I have seen the most complaints about through our text line and on Twitter is volleyball.
Volleyball?
And why? I believe it's because they're so bad the ball never does anything.
Yeah, they can't get it right.
It just goes over once and it's like
mistake after mistake. Yeah, point. Right. That makes sense. You know, I think that the best sport to watch would be the individual sports, right? Like tennis.
Gymnastics, maybe.
Or golf.
Maybe gymnastics is boring because you only want to see your kid and there's how many
you gotta
in the competition.
Wait for your yeah, exactly. Swimming's awful. You got to wait the whole damn day for your kid to swim. Two minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can't imagine any of them are great, but
I would say tennis would probably be the most exciting because as long as they're playing,
it's your kid. And that's it. And there's action. But it might be a little bit like volleyball. It's like unforced error, double fault.
Right.
And you're like, F, come on.
Although I'm not going to lie. I can't say that I've seen too many young kids playing tennis. you know, whenever I see people playing tennis, it's always like teenagers. At
the very least. My mom used to come and watch me play tennis.
Oh, were you a tennis player at a young age?
Or were you
13, 14?
Yeah, I was probably more of a teen. Yeah, that's probably right.
I wonder,
as a kid, it was baseball.
Is it difficult as someone who is smaller and younger to even hit the ball over the net on a full-size tennis court?
You're talking about tennis?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Are there like miniature tennis courts for young kids?
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm merely asking questions. I don't expect you to have the answer. I'm just throwing these questions out into the abyss.
Yeah. I mean, all the tennis, you know, you see all the stud tennis players and studette tennis players. They're all really young. But you're right. Like, when did they start? I mean, were they like Tiger Woods on the Tonight Show just at 6 months hitting balls into a net? Like, what?
Like, they went and found that one wall at the tennis court and they were just over there by themselves hitting it over there.
Fascinating. All right. A couple of other texts here now. You know, a lot of feedback on our hot travel talk. Oh, kids soccer is the worst. Yeah, maybe so. Because it's when they're really young, it's just like a swarm of bees. They don't really know what to do. They just chase the ball around.
I think actually for Joey Harrington last week, it was best that his son was the goalie. Because
but his kid's getting a little older.
Oh, is that the case?
He was saying that, he said it was the first time that he went to a sporting event where he's like, hey, you know, this is actually...
it's a sport.
You know, you can see the skill coming and, you know... that's a magical time.
But I still think if you're in goal, you know when to watch and cheer on your kid. Like if you're one of the guys out there and the ball stays away from your kid for 15 minutes, you're just watching a swarm of bees at the ball.
Yeah.
But for the goalie, it's like they're always, when it's going that way, they're always in the play.
Right.
So I think that's a little bit better.
Here's a texter who says, my kid golfs and spends more time in the sand than David Hasselhoff. Well, I played in a golf tournament this weekend, and I swear to God, I got to give this kid a shout out. His name is Grady Millar, and he's from Vancouver, and he is a stud. He beat everybody in our division by like 10 shots, and I played with him both days, and he couldn't have been a nicer kid, and he's a big kid, and I asked him how old he was, thinking 17, 18. He's 14, and he wiped the floor with us. And he couldn't have been any nicer, but his mom and dad were out there pretty much the whole time watching him. And I thought, you know, this isn't bad for them because...
if he's 14 and wiping the floor with
you, he's good.
It's easy to watch him.
Yeah, that's right. He was fun to watch. He was a fun player to watch. I mean, that kid's going places. So shout out to Grady Millar. Nice job. But you should have been in the championship division. But I guess his dad played football at Utah or something, and his mom was out there. They were super nice. And then following... I think that would be palatable, I would think. That's why I say like golf and tennis, the individual sports. On the travel tip, Tokyo, Lisbon, Prague. Ooh, that's good.
I've heard amazing things about Prague.
Yeah.
Mostly because it is hysterically affordable, but you get really high quality stuff, but it's really cheap. I had a friend who went there and he sent me a picture of a dinner he had at a nice restaurant. And it was like big steak and he had sides and all that kind of stuff. And he said total for the dinner, it was $35. And it's just, he says really good food. It's just really, really, really affordable for us.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Here's somebody who says, I've been all over the world, but my number one would have to be Japan. It is a little of everything. Amazing culture, technology, scenery, views. Where's the rest of that text? Outstanding food, very friendly people, obviously rich in history and art as well. That's tough to beat. I've been warming up to the idea of traveling to Asia as I get older. Earlier in my life, I wasn't as interested in that part of the world, but now I am.
That's a place I've not been, and I kind of am with you, but, you know, from when you were younger, I don't really have a ton of interest in going there, but I think it would be fascinating to go and experience such a different culture than what we have here.
Hot take.
I just would have other places I would choose first.
Here's somebody who says, I love world travel, but I also feel like we live in such a diverse area of the country that we have virtually every natural and recreational feature available within a day's drive. Sometimes I feel like people are so easy to fly across the globe for something they could just do as easily in the Northwest, with the only exception being a warm tropical beach.
Yeah, I would say there's some merit to that, but I think the big difference, in my opinion, is that if you're going a day's drive, it doesn't feel like a trip. It feels like a little excursion. And if you're going somewhere else in the world, it feels like this big grand event that you like.
Well, at least you're experiencing other cultures
that you get really, really excited about. And it's like, yeah, you could go to all of these various places in the Northwest that exist here, and I'm sure it would be fantastic, but you're also going back home the next day, basically. So it just feels a little different.
You know what I've soured on as I've gotten older? I promise, poll question in a moment. I've soured a little bit. Now, this is not that it's bad, but, you know, it's like, all right, been there, done that. Hawaii. Somebody asked, what about Hawaii? I've been going for the first time, or I'm going for the first time in November. We're going to Oahu and Waikiki, staying at one of the big resorts. We've never been, so we're doing all the touristy stuff. Yeah, I think that's a one and doneer. Like, you got to do that.
I've never been.
Yeah, it's
I am of no help.
Yeah, Hawaii.
Dusty's in Hawaii right now.
I know he is. A lot of people are going to Hawaii because of the, you know, the international travel thing. They want to take a summer vacation, but, you know, you can't go to Canada.
Right.
I think you can go to Mexico. They don't care, do they?
I don't think so.
Zook's in Iceland. They obviously don't care up there, but I think a lot of people just said it was just easier with that, not knowing what was going to happen with the travel restrictions, to just go to Hawaii. So we went there. We went there in, I think that was March. Had a good time. Good time.
Yeah.
Good little trip. But.
I mean, I've never been. I've always been curious because I know.
It's expensive as hell, too.
Yeah, I've heard that. I know that, you know, some people go and they just stay on the resort, and it's like a resort vacation in a tropical paradise, right? Mm-hmm. Which you can do in a myriad of different countries. Mm-hmm. But I have not heard too many people who have, like, gone just out and traveled across and driven into different towns and stuff like that. So I don't know how feasible that is in Hawaii. I know that, I've heard that people who are local to Hawaii don't like the tourists quite as much. So, maybe you wouldn't get it fully accepted if you were just, like, driving around to different towns. I don't know.
Hawaii's great, but there's better. I'll read some more of these. I've got them earmarked, so we'll get to that. But we're running out of time. Our AAA heating and cooling poll question, family business helping families for over 50 years, AAAIAQ.com. It is located on our website, 1080thefan.com. We ask that you vote, but our main ask is that you vote hard. What do you have the least faith in? Team USA basketball in Tokyo, Oregon football losing one or less this season, the Blazers keeping Damian Lillard, or the Pac-12 expanding to 16 schools? Log on and vote. We talk about that as it pertains to expansion. Coming up next, we also have some big NFL news. Aaron Rodgers and Deshaun Watson, it appears, will both be in camp. Watson already is. Rodgers possibly tomorrow. And we have an NBA trade. Has another team surpassed the Blazers in the West? So we will get to all of this coming up on a busy Monday. But first, Mike with SportsCenter.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Someone asked, why is there not an all of the above option on the poll question today? Because this person has no faith in any of them. Well, we never give you that bailout option. You have to pick one. What do you have the least faith in? Team USA basketball in Tokyo, Oregon football losing one or less this season. And remember, they play at Ohio State. Blazers keeping Damian Lillard, or the Pac-12 expanding to 16 schools. I think the Pac-12 is in an interesting spot. Now, if I had to vote on that... I think Oregon can lose one because I think they're going to be favored in all their other games outside of Ohio State. Team USA basketball, I think, is going to get it together. I think.
You sure about that?
No, not at all.
I think if I had to vote for one, I would pick that one.
And really?
Yeah, well, I forget which player. Well, I think it was Evan Fournier on France who beat them. He goes, yeah, they're better than us individually, but they're you can beat them playing as a team.
Well, yeah,
and
but
what are they going to run into? But a bunch of teams that have been built on team basketball and now have been infused with NBA superstars. There's more stars on these various other countries' teams than there ever used to be.
No, I agree with that. The international teams have closed the gap for sure. I mean, I remember I was thinking like I saw the Team USA lost to France and I was like, well, how did they lose to France? So I go look at the box score and I'm like, oh, well, France has some good players, you know, Gobert. And then I look and
Batum.
I see that they've been I see that they got out rebounded. I'm like, well, how does the U.S. with all our athleticism, like, because I've always been a big believer that rebounding is effort. And with all our athleticism, how do you get out rebounded by freaking France? And then I read that France has 3 7-footers.
And the U.S. barely has.
We're
a big.
Small. Yeah, we're tiny. That's why they added JaVale McGee. So I just think the Team USA is behind the eight ball in a lot of ways. I mean, they only had like 6 practices. So maybe they do flame out because they just haven't had time to play together. But I don't think it's going to take them that long to get it together. And they have shooters all over the place. I feel like as in years past, they're going to make it happen. Then you have Blazers keeping Lillard, which I think he's as good as out the door. And then you have the Pac-12, who's in a very interesting spot because does the Pac-12 want to expand by 4? Doesn't really seem like it. It's not that interesting or beneficial to add the Texas Techs and the, you know, Kansases of the world if you can. So the Big 12 executives met with the presidents at Texas and Oklahoma over the weekend and called it cordial. But I don't see what the Big 12 can offer to keep them. I don't see what any league could offer to get them. I mean, Texas and Oklahoma basically put themselves up for bids in a one bidder race. And that one bidder is the SEC that can get them $70 million a year in TV revenue. They're out the door, even though the Big 12 is like, well, let's talk. So I guess it was cordial. But now the report is that the Big 10 is considering pilfering the Pac-12, which makes a lot of sense because you have to be proactive here. You can't be left holding your you know what. So they want AAU schools. Is that what it is? AAU?
Isn't that like
academic institutions?
Oh, okay. I mean, AAU is like high school basketball.
I forget what the acronym is, but it's the research institutions, mm-hmm. Right? They want the Big Ten is very much like the Pac-12 in the sense that they're very high and mighty about their academics, right? That's a big thing for them. So they're not just going to take anyone, just like the Pac-12 isn't just going to take anyone. And the report is that they want, because of that, they would be looking at Oregon, Washington, USC, and UCLA, all on the research institution list.
Oh, my God.
Does this give you tired head?
No, it just blows my mind because I'm trying to think of the Big Ten and its location and its teams. And yeah. You're thinking of putting 4 West Coast teams in that? It's really hard for me to wrap my head around that.
They also have Rutgers.
Yes.
Which is on the East Coast.
As is
so
Maryland.
I think we have to get out of this idea that
yeah, but you
that
have
it's
to understand
just regional.
The
It's not just regional anymore.
Well, I know, but the travel between Maryland and Penn State is nothing.
They don't have airplanes?
Compared to the travel between Oregon and Penn State.
No, I get it. But
or
I think
even Oregon and Wisconsin.
We're talking football only. I'm not talking all sports. Logistics would be a nightmare for all sports. But in football, football's different. I mean, these teams travel all over the country to play each other non-conference as well. I think it can be done. And I think we got to get out of this idea that this is a seismic shift. With Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC, this is seismic. This is going to change everything. And who knows where it's all going to be when the dust settles. But we got to get out of our heads just the idea that it's just going to be regional and the Pac-12 is just going to take a couple schools from out west and the Big Ten is going to take a couple of Big 12 leftovers and that's it. We got to think bigger because that's what these conferences are thinking. So the Big Ten is smart. They're saying, hey, I mean, if you look at it from Oregon and Washington's perspective, that's the same as Texas and Oklahoma going to the SEC.
That is true.
It's like, why would a lot of people are looking at this going, well, why would Texas and Oklahoma do that? Well, mostly about money, but if it benefits them to go to the SEC, it's the exact same thing for Oregon and Washington to go to the Big Ten. And now I'm not saying they would, but if the Big Ten came calling and they could solidify their 16 with those four schools, Oregon, Washington, USC, UCLA, you got to look at that if you're Oregon. And I think that's exciting. The Ducks are attractive to the Big Ten, and I think that's exciting for Oregon fans. Now, the flip side is you lose a lot of traditional rivalries.
I guess if Washington is following along, then you get to keep that.
Yeah.
But it sucks. You lose the Beavs game unless you do non-conference with them every year. And
things are changing.
Yeah.
And it sucks. I get it. But at the same time, I think it's exciting. And where this ends, who knows? But, you know, it's, I don't know. The Pac-12, I don't think, is going away because they have, as we're talking about regions. I mean, the West Coast, it's going to be a part of this. There's too many good schools out here for it not to be. What will look like, what conference, I don't know. But the Pac-12 is also not great. Let's not forget that the Pac-12 is just north of the Big 12 in terms of cachet. Big 12 is a joke. Texas and Oklahoma are leaving the Big 12 behind. The Pac-12, it's like next in line in terms of a joke, in terms of football.
Well,
so you have to be proactive.
I mean, I think ignoring Clemson, the ACC is the Pac-12.
Well, they make more money, though. They make a lot more money.
And the ACC, actually, I would say the ACC might be worse in football than the Pac-12 outside of Clemson.
Potentially, but they make a lot more money, and they're in an area with a lot of those schools where people care a lot more.
Talent-rich states, yeah.
Yeah, and so Nebraska was proactive, and it worked out for them. They're safe in the Big Ten. Colorado was proactive. They're safer in the Pac-12 than they were in the Big 12. Or you get left behind because we all know who that is. Iowa State's, Kansas State's, that's where we're at. So the Big Ten's best shot at matching the boldness of the SEC is grabbing four schools from the West. You get Oregon's very unique cachet with Oregon. You get Seattle, and then you get the California schools.
You get the LA schools, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on now. That's a bold move by the Big Ten. And then somebody else, I think it was Andy Staples, said, hey, if academics are really important, maybe they take six and also go with Cal and Stanford.
I think something that we talked about off the air last week is one of the more fascinating things to me about this. And, you know, if you care about it, we could talk about it next because we got a break. But
what break?
There's a very big gap in like college football fans in terms of who cares about the classic rivalries and who doesn't.
Yeah.
And the reason we said that was, at least for me, I didn't grow up in an area that cared about college football. I grew up in North Jersey. Nobody cares about college football there. You know, maybe there's Penn State fans, maybe there's Notre Dame fans. That's about it, right? Rutgers has been terrible for most of my life. But when I went to college, I started caring about college football because Syracuse had a team, and, you know, I got into the Big East stuff and then the ACC. So, you know, now I'm a college football fan. But because I didn't grow up with college football, all of this stuff is super exciting to me because I didn't grow up with classic rivalries. But for those of you who have been watching college football your entire life, who grew up in an Oregon and Oregon State household or Washington or Wazoo or whatever the case may be, all of this is probably awful because one of the big things that you love about the sport of college football is the tradition and the tailgating and the regionalized conference schedule, stuff like that. And I think there's a big gap between those two college football viewers this whole situation.
Or it's stale. College football's stale. And it needs a shot in the arm, and there's a lot of people. I'd be curious to know how many people fall on the side of, like, if you frame what you just said, classic versus modern. Mm-hmm. Because what's going to end up happening is this going to be a completely different look when this is all said and done. Now, it may not be immediate. There will be steps to get there. The first step being Texas and Oklahoma to the SEC. But ultimately, this is going to look a lot different. The structure is going to be a lot different 10, 15, 20 years from now. Maybe it's 5 years from now. I don't know how long it's going to take. But this is moving quick. And if we call that the modern college football, which side of the fence do you fall on? The classic, the rivalries, the way it is, or modern? And I contend, and we will come back and talk about this, that the modern way, we don't even know how it's going to be structured yet. I feel it's going to be way better because you have to create a system financially that I think we're headed this way, where more teams can compete. If you do that, your sport is going to be more interesting, more entertaining, more fans are engaged, and everybody wins. College football is the worst at that. Of all the sports we follow and talk about here, college football is by far the worst. There's just zero competitive balance. The same teams win every year. There's no parity, and they've got to fix that.
Going into a season, like 10 of 12 teams in each league, no, they have no chance.
That's it. So this feels like it is moving toward a model, a more modern model, as we're going to call it here, that is going to be more interesting for fans. Are you on that side of the fence, or are you a classic college football fan that doesn't want to see much of this change?
And there's an idea that I have that I've talked about in the past that I want to bring up too.
Text 503-250-1080. We'll be back, talk more about it, 353 on the Fan.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medella is your reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Prime Time with Isaac and Suk on 1080 The Fan.
Okay, we're asking, do you prefer the classic college football as it stands now, conferences, regional rivalries, or are you willing to bet on where college football is going, the more modern college football? Like, for example, a lot of you have texted in and said the Big Ten Pac-12 merger, which has been floated out there. You have a West Division, you have an East Division, you got a lot of teams, but that is not far-fetched based on where this is going. You play your division. I mean, I don't know. I think the SEC will go to a nine-game conference schedule now with Texas and Oklahoma.
Well, I was going to say I have a clip of this for Stockwatch today, but Jay Billis said the ACC should ask the SEC about merger.
Right. There you go. See, but that's the thing. The next move is going to be a bold one. So it's not just going to be the Pac-12 adding four whomever schools. It's going to be something like the Big Ten and the Pac-12 solidifying their place by merging, or the Big Ten stealing the four big schools from the Pac-12. Pac-12 doesn't want that, so they're interested to be in a merger. And so if they merge, now they're on top. SEC's retort to that, merge with the ACC. Now all of a sudden, you've got basically two super leagues, right? And everybody else, maybe you can form a third one with the leftover Big 12s and the Mountain West and the American Athletic.
Well, here's the thing I was going to bring up is I've talked about this before. If we're going full modern for college football, and it's going to become its own version of a professional sport, essentially, which is kind of the way we're trending now, especially with NIL and stuff like that, is why not make a system for promotion relegation? There are going to be teams left out in the dark on this, for sure. You mentioned Kansas State. You mentioned, you know, Oregon State fan is nervous about what's going to happen for the Beavs. What if, you know, maybe it's not two super leagues, but maybe it goes to a, like, top 20 teams. And you just fly around the country and play each other because it's going to be like a professional sport. And then you have the division below it, and that has 20 teams in it. And then every year, the bottom 2, 3, 4 and the top 2, 3, 4 switch leagues.
Don't mind it.
I think that would be brilliant because those who get left behind still have a chance to get themselves back up there.
Well,
and
college
they're going to be
football,
playing teams that they're more competitive with.
College football changes. You know, Boise State's good right now and has been good. But when they suck, they're relegated. You don't have to worry about that. And then Central Florida, who has risen up in the last, you know, 5 to however many years, they jump in. And it's more interesting when those teams are good playing the big teams as opposed to just the crappy-ass Kansases. You know, that's my own school, but they're so bad. Like, I love that idea. I don't know if that would ever get considered. I like it. Along the same lines, I was thinking today, I wonder if the next sort of iteration of all of this is that it's even more savage. Because think about what Greg Sankey just did, the SEC commissioner. How many times has he been in a room with Bob Bowlesby, the Big 12 commissioner, and never said a word about that? He was basically torching Bob Bowlesby's conference. Bob Bowlesby had no idea of this. And Greg Sankey's talking behind everyone's back and keeping it hush-hush that he's stealing Texas and Oklahoma. It's pretty savage, man. So my question is are these leagues next, the next iteration of this, is they're going to start kicking out the lesser teams? To your point.
Yeah.
I mean, when does the purging begin? Will conferences start looking at booting the dead weight? Because we all know there is a ton of dead weight. You know, I mean, there are a ton of schools riding coattails. Kentucky, Vanderbilt, Kansas State, hate to say it, Oregon State. What would stop leagues from cutting TV deals with the rights of the money-making schools only? I mean, there are a ton of dark politics in all of this.
And that's why I brought up my idea again, because
it's the same idea.
I can see that happening to where, almost like we saw in Europe, where they almost formed the Super League. And boy, did the fans have some power in that, because most of those teams backed out. But they were about ready to say, look, we're at the top of the top, but none of these crappy teams in our league are going to do anything to help us out here. So let's all play all the top teams at the same time. I could see that happening here. And I'm not sure in this country, in the sport of college football, if there's enough of a voice of a demand to push those teams away from doing that.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. To some extent, I think there's a lot of people in the college football world who would call that a European model, and we don't do that. And you know,
sure,
that
course.
Stigma, but I like the idea of it. And if it's explained properly, it makes a lot of sense, but
you don't have to call it promotion relegation if you don't want to be tied to Europe.
Exactly.
You can call it whatever you
exactly.
want.
Exactly. But the SEC, you know, they're adding two blue bloods. Why not replace two schools with blue bloods instead? Right. Wouldn't that be better for them? Now, we're not at that point yet. They're still buoying up Kentucky and Vanderbilt, but could we see a scenario when the dust settles here that all the big boys are in their own leagues and also Rands are in other leagues? And that, again, goes back to your point of, you know, promotion, relegation, I guess. It's a little different, but
give the teams that are in the lower leagues a chance to improve enough to move themselves up, and give a punishment to the teams who don't keep up to the standard of the league that they're in.
That would help prevent a league from saying, you know what, Kansas, you haven't done anything for 15 years. You're gone. We don't want you. Bye. It's happened before. I was listening to Dan Wetzel talk about this. Temple. I think it was the Big East kicked Temple out. So it's there. It can happen. It seems far-fetched, but we should, I don't know. There are a lot of, like I was saying, there are a lot of dark politics in this expansion discussion and what's going on behind the scenes. When does it turn even darker? Because it's all about money, and it does seem to make sense that these big schools would cut bait with some of these schools that are riding coattails. As for Oregon to the Big Ten, what's the worst that can happen? You explore that. Maybe you get a better deal out of the Pac-12. You know, that you have that kind of leverage right now. You haven't always had that kind of leverage, but you do right now. So maybe Oregon's got to be sniffing around. You got to be making those calls. And the Big Ten certainly is making those calls.
And Oregon's probably salivating at the idea of getting into Chicago, getting into New York or New Jersey, getting into D.C., and having, you know, obviously there's more college towns than big cities in the Big Ten, but getting into that region of the country.
Well, sure. And look at the college football. It's just so regional. It's just not, it's for it to grow, we've got to get out of this regional mantra, right? It's because all the regions are looking out for themselves, and that holds the sport back. When all the regions are combined looking out for the league, which is national, now you're talking. That's the problem with college football, is that the SEC is working against the Big 12 and the Big 10 is working against the SEC. It's broken. We're moving away from that. The NCAA has less and less power every minute. It's moving to something more professional-like. And I know that pisses a lot of people off and they want the classic college football, but that's the way it's going. And quite frankly, I'm excited about it. Text 503-250-1080. More coming up. Stockwatch as well on The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road.
With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.